earlier. Now, after such a long interval, I felt as if I were in the grip of a foreign substance. It was heavy and stiff, and seemed not to match the contours of my body. I stood and walked around the room, stopping in front of the mirror to yank at the sleeves and the coattails in an attempt to make it fit better. I stretched out my arms, took a deep breath, and bent forward at the waist, checking to see if my physical shape might have changed in the past 2 months. I sat on the sofa again, but still I felt uncomfortable. Until this spring, I had commuted to work every day in a suit without its ever feeling strange. My firm had had a rather strict dress code, requiring even low-ranking clerks such as myself to wear suits. I had thought nothing of it. Now, however, just sitting on the couch in a suit felt like an immoral act, like faking one's curriculum vitae or dressing as a woman. Overcome with something very like a guilty conscience, I found it more and more difficult to breathe. I went to the front hall, took my brown shoes from their place on the shelf, and squeezed myself into them with a shoehorn. A thin film of dust clung to them. As it turned out, I didn't have to find the woman. She found me. When I arrived at the tea room, I did a quick circuit looking for the red hat. There were no women with red hats. My watch showed 4:10. I took a seat, drank the water they brought me, and ordered a cup of coffee. No sooner had the waitress left my table than I heard a woman behind me saying, "You must be Mr. Toru Okada." Surprised, I spun around. Not 3 minutes had gone by since my survey of the room. Under a white jacket, she wore a yellow silk blouse, and on her head was a red vinyl hat. By reflex, I stood and faced her. Beautiful was a word that might well have been applied to her. At least she was far more beautiful than I had imagined from her telephone voice. She had a slim, lovely build, and was sparing in her use of makeup. She knew how to dress, except for the red hat. Her jacket and blouse were finely tailored. On the collar of the jacket shone a gold brooch in the shape of a feather. She could have been taken for a corporate secretary. Why, after having lavished such care on the rest of her outfit, she would have topped it off with that inappropriate red vinyl hat was beyond me. Maybe she always wore it to help people spot her in situations like this. In that case, it was not a bad idea. If the point was to have her stand out in a room full of strangers, it certainly did the job. She took the seat across the table from mine, and I sat down again. "I'm amazed you knew it was me," I said. "I couldn't find my polka dot tie. I know I've got it somewhere, but it just wouldn't turn up, which is why I wore this striped one. I thought I'd find you, but how did you know it was me?"
"Of course I knew it was you,"
she said, putting her white patent leather bag on the table. She took off her red vinyl hat and placed it over the bag, covering it from view. I had the feeling she was about to perform a magic trick. When she lifted the hat, the bag would have vanished.
"But I was wearing the wrong tie," I protested. "The wrong tie?"
She glanced at my tie with a puzzled expression, as if to say, "What is this odd person talking about?" Then she nodded.
"It doesn't matter. Please don't be concerned."
There was something strange about her eyes. They had a mysterious lack of depth. They were lovely eyes, but they did not seem to be looking at anything. They were all surface, like glass eyes. But of course they were not glass eyes. They moved and their lids blinked. How had she been able to pick me out of the crowd in this busy tea room? Virtually every chair in the place was taken, and many of them were occupied by men my age. I wanted to ask her for an explanation, but I restrained myself. Better not raise irrelevant issues. She called to a passing waiter and asked for a Perrier. They had no Perrier, he said, but he could bring her tonic water. She thought about this for a moment and accepted his suggestion. While she waited for her tonic water to arrive, she said nothing, and I did the same. At one point, she lifted her red hat and opened the clasp of the pocketbook underneath. From the bag she removed a glossy black leather case, somewhat smaller than a cassette tape. It was a business card holder. Like the bag, it had a clasp, the first card holder I had ever seen with a clasp.
She drew a card from the case and handed it to me. I reached into my breast pocket for one of my own cards, only then realized